success looks so easy from the outside, but all successful people have had to overcome enormous obstacles along the way, and in many cases, look failure right in the eye. Most successful people don't focus on the struggle, and they rarely talk about it because that's not what creates success. Join us here, where we'll chat with serial entrepreneurs, both men and women, and share the good, the bad, and the ugly of entrepreneurship. We'll talk about the obstacles we faced and how to overcome them to reach the success that you desire. I am your host, Cami Lehman, and this is She's Invincible. Hey everyone, thank you so much for joining us today on She's Invincible. And we have an invincible one to introduce you to today. Sharde Rael is a behavior change specialist and visibility mentor, helping women break self-doubt, feel powerful, and amplify their voice. She is the host of the top-ranking wellness podcast, Feel Good Naked, and the new show, Her First 3 Years for Entrepreneurs. Oh my gosh, Sharde, welcome to She's Invincible. I'm so excited to have you with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm ready for all the invincible energy to come in.
Well, here we go. Let's jump in. Let's tell our listeners, how in the world did you get where you are today? And what makes you invincible?
So how I got here now, it's so funny because I remember when I was, I don't know, maybe 20, I was having a conversation with a friend and he was going around the room to all our friends and saying, your superpower is you're really good at reading people. Your superpower is XYZ. And he got to me and he said, your superpower is making people feel like they can do anything, but I don't know how you'll ever do anything with that.
I think he was trying to say you are invincible.
I think that was behind the lines. Yeah, right. But it was something. It was just one of those things where it was always this latent habit where I would sit with people and I would hear their dreams and their stories and I would always encourage them towards it. I was never the naysayer. And that's because I grew up in a home where my mom didn't get to have her dreams because she was raising the three of us alone. And so I think for me, it was just always with me, every conversation I had, if anyone told me even a small thing they wanted to do, I wanted to push them towards it. But at the same time, I had this messaging, which we get a lot of, no, you're going to go university, you're going to go to corporate. This is the way that things go. You don't go off and do something different. Like this is what is in the cards for you. And you get more invested in that track, the more time, the more money you spend in it. And so I found myself in my late 20s in a job I despise. We talked about this before, a boss I couldn't stand. And I was looking at this life that was totally different from my superpower. It felt the opposite. I was selling something I didn't even believe in. And every day it was difficult to just get up and do it.
Man. So how did you make that switch from working for this? I'll tell you, there's nothing like a really bad boss, right? That's like resume producing. You're like, I am so out of here. So yeah. How did you, tell us a little bit about that journey from leaving that to now being here on your own?
Yeah. So it was one of those situations where I always wanted to be on my own. I always had this dream to do stuff, but you know how it goes. You're always so good at supporting other people that you don't invest that in yourself. And I knew that I wanted to do these things, but it took me being so unhappy and mentally uncomfortable in a job to actually go out and do it. So when I left that job, I bought a ticket to Brazil, which is my happy place. And I just said, peace to everyone, I'm out. I didn't have a plan. I wish I could tell you, oh, I knew I was going to build this empire. I was starting the seeds. No, I was going there completely burnt out. My health was horrible. I was having chronic acne, a lot of gut issues. I just felt the weakest that I've ever felt in my life as someone who used to be really into wellness. And I took 7-8 months to just not even plan, to not do anything. And just kind of recalibrate. It was a really initially depressing time But then the longer I spent in it, the more comfortable I got. And I realized that, okay, well, I've always wanted to do this. I always wanted to start my own thing. What skills do I have and why don't I start now? And so I started with wellness because it was something that I'd been doing since I was 17. I had a lot of skills related to it and I loved it. But it was also the thing that I had let go. And I felt like if I had let this go, I can't be the only person who experienced this.
Right. Isn't that something? It's so interesting how our journey, our own experiences are part of that journey that take us where we're headed. And we have to take the long road and the dead ends and the detours. And yet at the end of that journey, here you are using that story and that experience to help other people and make an impact in the world. Like, isn't that amazing? I still find that I see it all day long and I still find that to be one of the most puzzling things about life. So, and I know we're going to talk about that today, but before we do, please tell us what makes you invincible.
So related to what I've said, the biggest honest gem that I've come across in that, what makes me invincible, I truly believe is being able to build community and help other people to see the power within themselves. And I'm just so sad, but also happy now that, you know, it took a long time to find that.
I love that. And, but you're in your happy place, right? So yes,
getting
yes. Yeah. Every day is a journey to that place, right? And nothing lasts forever. So just when you finally get it right, you're like, oh, it's time to move again, right? Oh my goodness.
You know, Cammie, that is it, 100%.
Isn't it true? I liken that to like when you have a house and you want to decorate your house and you start at the front door and you're like, I'm going to paint the foyer. And then you're like, that tile doesn't match anymore. And then it doesn't match with the carpet. Isn't that how our life is? We're like, this isn't a good fit anymore. I'm done here. But I love that as an entrepreneur, you have the freedom to do that, right? People that were stuck in corporate, like as you were before, with a boss you couldn't stand and a job you hated and selling product you didn't believe in, like you were stuck until you weren't. And I think that's what I think we need to shout out to entrepreneurs is there's nothing like the freedom, right? The freedom to pivot, shift, move, start over, start again, hit reset, right?
Yeah, there's never any, even on the toughest days that you have, whenever you're struggling with visibility, money, whatever it is, remember that freedom, because that is something that you will never get to the same level in anything else you do.
It's so true. And it's time freedom. It's financial freedom, right? Like the other day I had spoke to a woman who's just the absolute rock star. And she said, yeah, one morning I woke up and I didn't have any money and I went to bed with $30,000. And I was like, yes, that. Between the time freedom and that reality. Oh my gosh, everybody it's needs incredible. To do this. Well, let's jump in. Let's talk to these people about how this goes down. Today, we're actually going to have the best conversation about reducing stress, managing burnout, oh my gosh, and moving through self-doubt. If those aren't like the trio of especially women in life, business, entrepreneurship, all the hats they wear, let's go. Sade, tell them everything they need to know.
So I'm going to start with what you ended with, because I think it's so important is as entrepreneurs, we are going to feel the self-doubt. We are going to struggle with imposter syndrome, but especially as a woman, you might find it a little bit more. And it's because we have this, you know, even in normal society outside of entrepreneurship, expectations of how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to be. And we're not supposed to be too emotive. And if we're feeling this way, it's crazy or et cetera. And there's just a lot of conditioning that goes in. And so if you're feeling this outside of entrepreneurship, you are 100% not alone, but it is harder because you are facing people telling you it's not happening. It's like being gaslit by society. So it's really hard. It's hard to get past that. And I think the biggest thing is just admitting that I feel this and it's okay. It's okay that I feel like this. It doesn't mean anything's wrong with me. It doesn't mean that I won't succeed because I'm having this kind of day. Because if you just wallow in it, you know, those negative thought spiraling patterns, it brings you so much lower and you don't get out of it. And so a lot of what I've always worked on now, and also as a behavior change specialist, as a wellness coach, is helping people first to give themselves permission to feel that, to accept that it's okay, to admit that you can have this and it doesn't mean you'll never heal. But if you don't admit it, you don't know how long it's going to go on for. So this kind of where we start with is the awareness, but then it's looking at the way that you're thinking, the conditioning you have, the patterns that come up again and again.
Yes. So that brings me to this, which I'm biting my tongue because I don't want to cut you off, but I want to talk about this, is it never goes away. As long as you're growing, and people, if this is not a disease or an illness that you could take medicine, it goes away and never comes back. It can kill you, right? It can kill your dreams. It can kill your journey. It can kill your success. But people, I see them trying to like squash it and kill it off. And like, they want it to go away and never come back. That never happens. And I want you to talk about this.
Yeah, I will say that I've been in the wellness world for, I started really young. I've been in the wellness world for 20 years now. And it's still, you still have challenging days. There are still days where you wonder about your worth, about what you can do, about managing all the different stuff. It doesn't matter if you had a success yesterday, the next day, you know, to the point of your guest, you know, there's lots of highs and lows here. So it doesn't go away. But what does change when you learn to manage it is the amount of time between when you experience that feeling and your response and how quickly you can come out of it. So 10 years ago when I was in corporate, or now I guess it would be 11 years ago in corporate, I would not be able to have a bad day and still get on with things or feel good about myself by the end of it. I wouldn't be able to. One thought would send me spiraling, but that's not the case anymore. And you probably know this too. Like, you can wake up and still not feel great and still wonder how the hell you're going to get stuff done. But by the middle of that day, maybe by the end on the tough ones, you can do it because you've done that work. So I'm so glad that you brought that up, because I don't want to pretend that all these tools are going to heal you like that, because it doesn't work that way.
Yeah. And you know what I find is every time I venture into something new or bigger, when I, like, I was writing a book and I, again, oh my gosh, what if it sounds stupid? What if nobody likes it? You know, we go through this every time we grow. The only way to avoid it is stop growing. Don't do anything. Just do what you're comfortable with, that you know you're good at. And that's a horrible way to live, right?
Yeah. Well, I love that you brought that up, because that's kind of, you know, the book, The Big Leap.
Yes.
You probably read that. It's staying in the zone of excellence, what you're comfortable with, what you can do. But the moment you're ready for that zone of genius, that's when the stuff hits you. When I told you I lost my voice for months.
Yes. That was terrible. I think we're going to talk more about that later. But yes, that it is. It's like we freak ourselves out. But I love what you said about how it's not the case anymore. It doesn't send you on that spiral. I feel like this is a muscle. The more we work it, the stronger it gets and the faster we bounce back, right? The more we can endure. And I love that, because the more of this we face and the more we challenge ourselves, the better we get. And yeah. So keep going. This is so good.
I mean, beyond like the initial awareness. So if we say that you've got to that point of you're accepting, okay, I'm experiencing this, I'm not going to run into a whole spiral of it's going to get worse, more things are going to happen, that whole doom thinking stuff, is then starting to recognize what are your specific negative thinking patterns, because everyone has specific stuff. Are you one of those people who tends to exaggerate to the worst? Oh, this client didn't pay for this month, and then now they're never going to pay again, and they're going to tell all their friends, and no one's ever going to pay. Like, are you a disaster thinker? Is that your pattern? Or are you someone who maybe extrapolates? You think that, okay, because I didn't have this one good lunch, no launches are going to be good for me ever again. Or because I acted this way here, it's going to always be this way. It's like figuring out what is your negative pattern, because it's not the same for everyone. And when you know that, it's so much easier to catch yourself then and think, oh, I see that coming. Not going to let that buzz hit me today.
You know, it's so funny. What I'm thinking about right now is like people that are watching what they eat. If they eat one thing that they knew they that wasn't on the list of things to eat, they're like, well, I blew it. And they do the whole day. They binge. They're like, I'll start tomorrow. I'm guilty of this. That's why I feel like I can call it out. But it's like, oh, I snatched an Oreo on the way past the refrigerator. Now I can go get a cheesesteak, right?
I'm honestly, if you, this is such a good comparison because for 8 years I was a wellness coach. A lot of that was nutrition, but it was non-diet. So it was along the lines of like, how do we actually heal your thinking around food in your body versus giving you controls and numbers, et cetera. And the parallel between business and food and the negative thinking and the behaviors we have is incredible. I mean, if you're ever interested to see, like, oh, I'm curious how else I can kind of get around these issues I have with business, look at some of the food therapy.
Oh my gosh. Well, while we're talking about this, let's talk about self-sabotage, because when we face this whole self-doubt thing, then I think it's probably subconscious that we then move into this sabotaging mode. So let's talk about that, some of the signs, and how can we avoid some of that? Because that is like the ticket to burnout, right? Is that we're sabotaging ourselves all day long so that we can lead right into the next thing. But let's talk about what that looks like.
Yeah, it's so true too, because you're right. Like if you're continually creating, growing, sabotaging, that's a lot of energy that we just don't have. And it's exactly what you're saying. And I've experienced this directly, as we'll talk about a little later, very recently, where it is subconscious. It's basically your whole mind and your body are designed to keep you safe. And the moment there's anything that you interpret as unsafe, any sort of thing, it could be something that you know is going to help your business to the next level or make you feel more fulfilled or enter a new relationship. But the immediate thing is a threat. It's not a benefit. And so you will default to how can I feel safe again? And that usually means removing whatever new thing you're trying to do, which is, you know, in food and in business, it's horrible.
Oh my gosh, this is so good. All right. What else do we need to talk about here about self-doubt before we move to another topic?
I think to the next thing with self-doubt, someone said this actually on my show not too long ago, and it's always stuck with me because it's a very simple way to say it, but it really does resonate, which is when you feel self-doubt, yes, we are aware of it, we recognize it, but also there's probably some small thing that's true in there. And looking at what is that? So if, for example, you have self-doubt about being on camera, there is something in that still that you need to look at. Maybe you aren't supernatural on camera, and that's fine. That just means that's something, a learned skill that you can go for. But it's recognizing if there's truth to it, how can I learn without judging it? And that allows you to evolve because it comes from somewhere. You know, we don't just make it up.
Right, right. It is rooted right there somewhere. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Okay, what do you want to talk about next?
I love it. This is like almost like how we're throwing all the darts.
I know. What makes sense? Should we talk about reducing stress or managing burnout?
Well, they go together. So let's talk about both. So
okay.
I think the worst slash best thing is that we don't usually physically feel how much stress that we are actually putting on ourselves until it's too late. And that's when the burnout happens. So we don't have any barometer telling us it's too much until it's too late. And that can become chronic, right? Because you're so used to living in high adrenaline. You're so used to these cortisol levels that you don't actually realize what is a lower healthy baseline anymore. And it just depletes your body. I mean, it also depletes your creativity, but it also takes down your energy, your ability to sleep, all the stuff that we need to show up for ourselves, for our clients. And so finding a way to actually monitor that stress, not just reduce it, but recognize when it's coming is huge. If you can start to become aware of that and honor that, the first twinge of, oh, I feel it in my shoulders or my neck, not, oh, I can't like lift up my chest anymore.
I can't move.
I can't.
You know, it's too late.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So what are some of the signs like leading up to that point? Tell us a little bit about what that might look like. And I know everyone is different. So let's just throw out a bunch of like what the most common are so people can try to identify.
Of course. So the biggest thing is anything in your body is going to be the biggest indicator. So I'll go through some, but if you're curious to go more into this separately in your research, if you look for anything around somatic healing, you start to really see what are some of the signs of stress. But it can be small things like we said, tension in the shoulders, in the muscle. It can be things you don't think are related. Twitching eyes. You can also have lack of sleep. If you're waking up multiple times in a sleep, you can't stay asleep. These are all signs that your hormone levels are disrupted and that you are experiencing a lot of stress. It could also be things like you have small unexplained illnesses happen. You know, you're in this warm place and no one's sick and all of a sudden you have the cold. That also is because your immunity is down, right? Because you have this stress. So there are all these small signs in your body that tell you first about where you're experiencing stress. And it's just the case of not ignoring them. Oh, that lower back pain's normal. You know, no, like it's acknowledging that they're there before they get too bad.
So what do you recommend for that? Because a lot of times that can't be treated like just go to the doctors and get fixed. So what are some of your tips around that when you start to feel some of these things?
The biggest thing is first, we always say from wellness coaching is you need to, if possible, remove yourself from that situation, at least temporarily. Or not go right into the next high pressure thing. So let's say that you have this huge tension in your shoulders and your back and it's aching and you just got off a client call and you're about to go into another call. That's a sign for you to say, okay, no, I need to stop. I'm not going to do my social media in between. I'm going to pause and do something that can actively relieve that tension. And it's interesting because you can do physical things to relieve a tension. So like, you know, self-massage, trigger balls, you can do meditation, breathing, but you can also physically remove yourself from the space where you're experiencing the stress. So if you're at your desk feeling this, go to the couch. You don't even need to go outside, but it's about removing yourself from this area where you're having this input that is just overloading you. And then the other thing around that is, and I will swear by this again and again, you have to do meditation. Really, really do, because it starts to allow you to create space between the feelings you have and your response. And nothing else can train you that way. It's preventative and healing.
So what is your favorite form of meditation?
I do classic breathing meditation. So every morning I have 10 minutes silence and I'm just redirecting on the belly breath again and again and again for 10 minutes. And you set a timer, can go longer if you want. And then I also do it in the evening, which I know it sounds excessive, but once you do this for a week, 7 days, 10 minutes before sleep, you will not stop because your sleep is so much better.
And that, my friends, is your next secret, right? How to get a good night's sleep. Well, I mean, isn't that the magic of everything, right? In the recipe, without that, you just really can't make it go. Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so good. So good. I love what you're talking about with the somatic healing too. Now, do you do that with your clients or is there just something you refer them to?
No. So I do a little bit of this. Now, it is something that if you want to get more deep into it, you need to work with someone in person. So because like it's the touching, right? It's the relieving. You can do some of it online and it is helpful for understanding. So when I'm working, for example, with other entrepreneurs or professionals, there are techniques we can do to release. But if someone really needs more than that, I 100% refer them in person because the touch, the feel is so different. It's a completely different release. And understanding too where you can touch and target to release it on yourself is really, really powerful. And for me specifically, you know, I've struggled with my voice. That's where I hold stress and tension. So learning how to massage around here on my neck has been invaluable in helping me throughout the day.
I love that so much. I have to confess that a couple of months ago, I was in such a stressful situation that one day I desperately Google searched on YouTube, on the TV, about somatic exercises. And I rolled out on the living room or the family room floor in front of the TV and did like 15 minutes. And I felt like $1 million when I was done. I had no clue what I was doing. I know I didn't do it right. It didn't even matter. It was a head game. And when I got in that game and I just moved my body a little bit and listened to that calm voice, it really was a game changer. So that's why I'm like digging into this, because I'm like, I want to know for me. So I know, you know, I'm always trying to think like, what else would my listeners want to hear from you? So I'm trying to be them right now to think about everything else we would want to say. So
I love that you did that, because it's the one thing, like, you felt the difference, right? When you were doing it.
Immediately. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to keep doing this. So I did the beginner one. And then I moved up one. I was like, that's too much. My legs hurt the next day. So then I went back, but I'm like, hey, I don't mind being a beginner as long as I have the tools that relieve the stress in that moment. And it was instantly. And I thought that was amazing. So, and that was just my first dipping my toe into it. And I haven't really done a lot, but I haven't been stressed either. So yay.
It worked not so that good level. That it lasted for months.
Well, that, or I just, you know, my mind, like you say, we get better, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So then we were like, okay, you can either go lay on the floor and put this on YouTube, or you can talk yourself through it. And so I think I'm doing that too, but I loved it and I want to do it more on a regular basis. So yay. Okay. So we talked about reducing stress. Let's talk more about burnout. I want to talk about, like you said, when you start, your body starts breaking down, it's too late. You're already in the tunnel. So let's talk about ways, some top tips on, like, you woke up this morning and you're listening to this right now thinking, what the heck am I going to do? Right? Like, I can't even get out of bed. Like, let's talk about that. Cause burnout shows up, one, of course, your body breaking down, but then so many other things come into play in your mind. And that is, I think that's scarier than the body breaking down. Yeah. And I don't know if that's true or not, but it's my reality that thought scares me more. So let's talk about this.
Yeah, it is scarier to think about, because with your body, you think of how easy it is to repair, but your mind, it's much harder. And the more I've done this work, the more I see how related it is, that when it enters your mind, it enters your body and vice versa. So it's caring for those both. But with burnout, the thing that it took me ages to learn is that it starts from the moment you wake up. And so when you're rolling out of bed, because if you think of sleep as a reset, let's say you get those beautiful 8 hours, maybe you get 4, I don't know, but whatever those hours are that you get, that's your reset. Your body can clock out, your mind can clock out. And so the moment that you're awake is when you start building up that burnout again. And so everything you do to start your day is going to start to either build or deplete that down. If you have a high stressful life, obviously, you know, if you live in the country, you're surrounded by animals, you don't have to work. Like, it's a totally different story. you don't have the same problems.
You live in a retreat center on an island surrounded by water.
Totally different life then, totally different. But for those of us, you know, where, especially if you're showing up a lot online, which can be really stressful and dealing with all sorts of things that come with that, it starts the moment you wake up. And there's so many people that I know personally in my network, and also I've worked with, where first thing they do on the phone, checking the socials, checking the email, no moment of pause between that rest to the day, no moment to feel in their body to stretch, to do anything. Sometimes they'll go straight to a high impact workout, and that's better than nothing, but please do something soft first. And I think that that's where it starts. I think that's the biggest thing, is if you can, from your morning structure, even just 5 to 10 minutes very consciously, you can do a lot towards eliminating, reducing burnout.
This is so good. So what, tell us your morning routine. Share with us a little bit, because like, you figured it out. So let's talk a little bit about that. Tell us what you do.
So I'm going to warn you, Kemi, I'm really excessive.
Yes, that's okay. Everyone is at a different level. We can adjust accordingly.
But I want to say this, because I started out with 5 minutes of trying to meditate using one of the apps, hating it, throwing it down every minute and be like, this is not working. So I started from that space, and this was about 6 years ago, I want to say. So keep in mind, I was already in the wellness space, a professional, when I was still struggling with this stuff. But 6 or 7 years ago, I started with that, and how it's evolved now to the point that I think I've missed my morning routine 3 times in these 6, 7 years because I was on overnight flights. It's, I start in the morning, I have 3 things I do, and I change the order based on how I feel. So it's meditation, 10 minutes, it's journaling, 10 minutes, and it's stretching, 10 minutes. And usually with a stretching, I'll also listen to a bit of a podcast. That's just kind of my type A, you know, personality, let's do something productive.
While I'm laying here rolling around on the floor, writing notes in my journal.
It makes it easier for me to justify a little bit. But I do that, and it takes about 30 minutes for everything, I would say. But then it's also your behaviors. So it's not just what you do, but it's kind of how are you approaching the day afterwards. So I don't have my phone off of airplane mode until 10 a.m. unless I know already that I have a client call or a podcast interview or something. I didn't even have it on till 10 a.m. because there's nothing so urgent that people need to get to me before 10 a.m.
Right.
It's not so important that they need to do it. And that is the routine that I've kept. And it really makes a difference because even today I woke up not in the best mind space, but by the end of doing this, it's like, okay, I can get on with this day. It's going to be okay for me.
That's fabulous. And 30 minutes, gosh, people lay in bed for longer than that in the morning, scrolling on their phone, right? Like then they don't even get out of bed. So that's amazing. So, okay, there's a lot of talk about this nighttime routine, getting yourself ready for bed. And I hear all these different versions of it. And like some of them are 2 hours long. I'm like, I'd be falling asleep. I would never get through that. Tell us about that. Is that something you believe in? And if it is, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing with that.
Yeah, of course. I was the same. I was very skeptical of the evening routine, even after I'd been doing my morning stuff. And I would be the person that would be reading about, oh, this is how you get better sleep. And I'd be scrolling in bed at The Real, which was about better sleep.
That said, you shouldn't be in bed scrolling at The Real. Oh, this is so good.
Anyone who's listening thinking, you know, that's me, that's what I do. I know I was there. And so again, when I share this routine, I didn't come to it overnight. It was a gradual process, and it started with airplane mode in the evening. So I would turn off my phone around 9:30, 10. So more or less an hour before I was going to sleep, I'd put it on airplane mode because I couldn't trust myself to just not look at it. I know some people say, oh, don't look at it. No. Airplane mode saves you.
Yeah. I think they say we look at our phone like 1,000 or 1,200 times a day. Like just pick it up and do it. It's a habit.
Have you seen those apps, Cammie, where you can actually look? I think it's inbuilt in iPhone now. You can actually look and see how much time you spend on your phone.
Sade, I turned it off. I literally turned it off because I would get a report and it would say, oh, you did better this day. It's down 10 minutes. It's like, I don't need that negativity in my life.
I deleted mine too.
Oh my God.
But it gives you a sense. I think that what was helpful for me in that was to see when I was online. And I realized that in the evening, I don't need to be on there. I don't need to be on Instagram at 9 p.m. It's okay to go off then. So that was the first step. And then the stretching in the evening. So I listen to, right now it's a throat chakra playlist. So it's kind of these weird Tibetan bowls and humming. And it's just kind of a different frequency of music that allows you to relax. So I'll listen to that and I'll stretch, but very gentle stretch, holding stretches, mostly on the floor. So it's easy to get to bed. And the nighttime routine, that part is only 10 minutes. I don't really count, you know, brushing my teeth and all of that because we do that anyways. So it doesn't need to be 2 hours. I don't know how people do that.
I don't either. Do you journal at night or just stretch and listen to your chakra?
I should journal. This is the one thing I fully admit that I tell people to do that I do not do. It's just so hard for me to stop and do that before. There's something that's easier about going into an activity, even though it's basically lying on the floor or in child's pose. Do you journal? Do you do that?
You know what? I don't. And that's why I'm asking you, like I'm seeing this pattern here. Like, it's really important to do it in the morning. And then I hear so much about the nighttime. I hear different versions of it, like the gratitude journal where you write down three things you're grateful for that day, to kind of end the day. I haven't done that on a consistent basis.
Yeah, this is something I want to implement because I met a woman recently she was a journal coach, which I didn't even know that existed, but she's a journal coach and she has all these prompts. And one of them is related to what you said, is three things that went well today. So not necessarily gratitude, but that went well. Who were they involved with, if anyone? And why did they happen? How did they make you feel? And I really like that because then you go to bed with a different mindset and thought, but you also go to bed thinking about how do I create more of these feelings?
Yeah.
So I could tell you like this went well today, but if I don't analyze it, I don't necessarily know it went well because I slept in or because I drew the first thing in the morning.
Oh, this is so good. All right. Now we're going to take this other direction because I feel like this is so important. And it's one thing we didn't talk about. How does food impact your stress and burnout?
Yeah. The first
let's
thing
go there.
Let's go into this. No one wants to hear. This is when they turn it off. Like, it's all good till now.
I'm gonna go listen to Mel Robbins now. She's not telling me what not to eat. Oh my gosh.
I won't say what not to eat. I'm not gonna go into that, but I will say we'll talk about how you eat and why it matters. So okay. If you go back to when you're experiencing high stress, one of the big symptoms you'll notice is indigestion and a lot of gut issues. So if you're someone that really struggles with that and how you digest food or going to the bathroom, a lot of that is often related to stress. And if you're experiencing stress and indigestion, and then you have highly acidic foods or higher fat foods, it's only going to make the situation more complicated for you. So if you're already in that situation, you want to start to heal a little bit. It's not saying don't have these foods ever again. It's just managing them. And highly acidic foods are not always what you think. As I've learned, because I've had to watch out for my throat because of acid reflux, it can be things like tomatoes. I mean, it's not stuff you think about. So food definitely, definitely affects how you feel in terms of how do you digest food? Certain foods are easier versus others, but also your energy levels. If you're not having, for example, proteins paired with carbohydrates, you're going to be one of those people who has the high energy and then tanks down. And maybe you find that's when you go for your coffee and then your adrenaline picks up and then you're fatigued. And it's important to start with the food because otherwise we kind of, what's the word? We self-diagnose or treat with stimulants like coffee, like tea, because it's just easier than figuring out what is the root problem, which it often can be food. But I can answer anything around specific foods if you want or way we eat. Let me know.
Well, it sounds like you're leaning more towards like more alkalinity and less acidic. So that would be a good guide to send people to, unless you have one that you've already published that you want to share. But I think like you're saying that, and I agree, like gut, when I'm stressed, that's the first thing that goes is my gut. Yes. And it's terrible.
It's so hard. And it's the inflammation. And then think about it. If this impacts how you feel, your energy, your sleep, then you can't show up as well in your business. So it's not just about, oh, I shouldn't be eating this food because whatever calories. It's not because of that. It's how it's making your body feel. And we talked about things like, tomatoes being acidic. Some people are more sensitive to dairy. It's just difficult to give specific things because every person is different.
Oh, 100%. And it's so interesting because, you know, we also binge eat when we're stressed, right? And so when we're stressed and we're burned out and now we're depressed or we can't move our body, we can get to the chocolate drawer, right? We know we can drag ourselves to the popcorn. Like, what is that? And then those are the worst things to eat because of the gut. So again, it goes back to that. And yet that's what we're driven to. And we don't even realize it, right? This is what the whole binge eating is in stress eating. And or as they call it, emotional eating. So we get into that thing. This is so good. Talk about holistic right here. This full circle. We just talked about everything from your head to your toes all the way through. Oh, my gosh. Anything else that you want to share with us about any of these topics or any last minute things?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is, I know when you listen to this, it can sound really overwhelming. We've talked about sleep and burnout and what you're eating, and that is a lot of stuff, right? I mean, there's a reason why people have 6-month coaching programs in wellness. No one expects you to do this overnight. It's not like that. But I would say if you're listening and you are feeling burnout, stressed, the self-doubt, whatever it is that's making you not show up fully, notice the one aspect of your life that is impacting you the most in that way. If it's the food, start there. If it's the sleep, start there. If it's the stress, start there. But the one that for you specifically is really hurting you or making you stand up and take notice, do that one and really don't worry about the rest of them until you start to manage that one.
That is such great advice. I love that so much. And I love that we put so much out here because it gives people something to say, hey, this is my thing. It doesn't have to be all of them. And I love what you're saying. I mean, some people are suffering from all of them right now and they feel like they're going to die. I was there. I actually was there once. And so I love what you're saying about just find the one, the first one, and then go through each one. And I think that a lot, you know, tackling the hardest one is going to make the other one so much easier. So sometimes don't they go away on their own? Like when you get to the one root, a lot of that other stuff just kind of goes away. You wake up and you're like, oh, that pain's gone, right? How did that happen? Yeah, I love this so much. I love the work you're doing. Thank you so much for this. Let's tell our listeners. Actually, before we do that, let's talk about your podcast. Oh, my gosh. So I love. And I've only listened to the one because the other one is so new that I didn't even know about it. But I love the Feel Good Naked. That is so fun. I actually took the time to listen to a few episodes of that and I love it. But tell us about that and also about your new one.
Yeah. So Feel Good Naked is about wellness stripped of the rules. So it's anything that affects your well-being. This conversation we had is a great example. It's not just your physical health or what you eat, but also mindset. It can be financial health. So that podcast is around all of those pillars of wellness and really helping women specifically to feel more empowered. And we don't have any diet talk. So I don't have anything about that. We talk about nutrition, but it's never from a standpoint of body shame, because I know that a lot of times when we go for wellness or health advice, that's what we get thrown. So this is meant to be a space where you can not have to face that.
I love that, because isn't it true that the thing they say you can't have is the only thing you want?
That's true.
Right? It's like they say, oh, you can't have caffeine, right? Now, I don't even drink caffeine for the most part, but yet all I can think about is what? I'm not going to be able to have caffeine. I want caffeine. So I love that you don't do that, because it sets us up for this terrible thing. And it's about everything in life, right? You can't travel. Mm-hmm. Oh, all I want to do is travel, right? Like, yeah. Oh, I love this. This is so good. So that's Feel Good Naked.
That's Feel Good Naked. And then her first 3 years, which you said is so new. So it just launched in March. And that is around the first 3 years of entrepreneurship. I describe it as the bathroom talks you would have with friends, but we're talking about business. So you're hearing all the gritty details of someone's journey. Some of them have done phenomenally well. They've grown really successful businesses. And other people are kind of still in the murk. They're figuring it out. So it's a very big mix of entrepreneurs. But the big thing that this one is all about, similar to Feel Good Naked, is we're taking away any sort of polished illusions. we're very real about, you know, some of the mistakes and things that happen in that. So it's just kind of like listening in on a conversation.
I love that. That's so great. And such a great support for other entrepreneurs because, that's why we started this show, because we all make it look so easy and everyone's comparing, right? The women are comparing your strengths to their weaknesses and they're always going to come up short. And so I love that you're really digging dirty in there and it's almost like leaving your butt hanging out, right? Like, let's tell the dirty truth here. And I love that because we need, as entrepreneurs, we need to do that. We need to be, you know, the encouragers that say, it's hard, but you can do it too, right? And that's why I love this next part. Well, let's tell our listeners where they can find you.
Sure. So I know you said one site, but I'm just going to give two because we talked about both of them.
Okay? That's fine. And it'll be in the show notes as well. So every way to find you will be in there, but go ahead. Yeah.
So the two best ways is just from the website. It's Feel Good Naked is the wellness side. If that's been the most interesting part to you, if more on the business stress side is, it's Her First 3 Years.
Perfect.
And you can find all socials on there too.
Beautiful. So you can find the website, the podcast, or you're everywhere, your show, right? Yes. Listened on Apple. Yeah. So, okay, awesome. And I want to ask you this before we move on is, what I do for my business is help entrepreneurs launch top podcasts. And then it always intrigues me when I see someone who has two. I know they're two different ones, right?
Crazy.
Yeah. Well, it is a lot of work, right? We know that there's a lot of work that goes into it on the front end and the back end. But what do you love about podcasting? Like, how did this shift your world?
It completely changed everything. I say that my first podcast in particular, because I've been doing it for longer since 2020, is the thing that I'm most proud of in my business and that brought me the most fulfillment, because there is nothing like getting your voice out, but also having people come back to you and say, this changed my life. I did this because I heard you speak about this in 15 minutes. And before that, I had been a coach for 7 years in the wellness space. I'd worked with people individually and they always talk about their transformations, but you're in a limited scale, especially in person. You can only help so many people. And with podcasts, it's just exponential. And so that's why I really love them. I really love being able to make information accessible. Anyone can listen to it, no matter their time or money constraints. And I think that's what's really drawn me in. And with the two of them, they're so different. It's like two different kids. You know, they're like completely different.
Yes. Yeah. And what's interesting is, you know, we teach like you can have a show of your own, you can be a guest, or you can do both. Well, you're doing all three. You have two shows of your own and you're here guesting on She's Invincible. And I love that. So tell us a little bit about the guesting side of this and how that is really helping to elevate you and your brand.
Yeah. So I was a guest before I ever had a show. My first guesting appearance was in 2018, I think. And that was with a friend. I didn't know anything about podcasts. I should say that first. I was not a listener. Even when I was a guest, I was not a listener until I started my own show. And I loved the experience when I was on hers. I didn't think much would come of it because she was just starting. But a few months, maybe 6 months after our episode went live, I was getting people coming in to my website, my Instagram, saying, I heard you talk about this and it really interests me. I think I was speaking about body neutrality. So the idea of not judging your body either way. And that was a moment of aha for me because I didn't do anything besides those 45 minutes on that interview. I didn't actively promote, I promoted it the first time it came out, but that was it. And so guesting is so powerful because it introduces you to people you would never, ever have access to. And also the relationships. I mean, I still have relationships with almost everyone I've ever guested for. And I find that to be one of the most powerful things is like that community you build.
Isn't that fabulous? I love that too. And that we learn so much from each other, right? Like I get to sit here with you and ask you anything I want.
And for free.
For free. Yeah. While everyone else is sending you money. I love this for every reason that you mentioned. And I think it's the greatest way to make a bigger impact around the world. And I just love that you're doing this. And I love the work itself of the transformation that you're creating for the people in the world. So thank you for that.
Thank you for holding space.
Yes. Oh, listen, we're here for each other, right?
You have moved from fighting cancer to discovering how to live beyond it. But what now? With so many emotional side effects still unknown, as a new survivor, you find yourself in a void as you navigate through the isolation, fear, and an uncertain future that can overshadow you and your family for years to come. Instead of focusing on the uncertainty of cancer, consider how strong and determined you are, and think of the strength demonstrated by those who stood beside you through it all. Consider this. You now get to choose who you want to be, and what your intentional, fulfilled life can look like. You made it through treatment. We can help you define yourself as a survivor. We're here to help you through this moment, to walk beside you as you shift your mindset from counting the days of life to creating a legacy. For more information, visit www.adventuretherapyfoundation.org or contact us at info@adventurefound.org.
You know, on She's Invincible, we promise our listeners we're going to bring them fierce entrepreneurs. We're going to spotlight their expert. Oh my gosh, girl, I told you we could go around the block. I think we did a 5K today. And
it feels like it.
I know. I love it. We are all stronger and better, right? And I appreciate that so much because that's what we want to do is bring value and education and inspiration to our community. And you did that so well. So thank you. But we're not done because while we're spotlighting these fierce entrepreneurs and we're talking about all the things and you're brilliant and how successful you are and you're helping other people. Everyone else is like, oh, she's so lucky. Look at her. She's cute. And oh my gosh, don't even get me started about the lucky thing. So what we do here is we pull back the curtain. So we spotlight all of the success and all the brilliance, but we also want to hear about the journey so people can say, wow, she paid a huge price for the success she has. I wonder if I could do that too. So are you ready to tell some fun stories about this crazy journey to success?
I'm so ready. Let's go.
Let's go. Okay. So we're going to start with the good or the great, because that's my favorite. So tell us a story about the good or the greatest part of this journey you're on so far.
The greatest part of this journey is honestly, so I think this is something related to an idea that I had that I was always afraid to launch and to do. And I didn't do it for ages, which was I wanted to hold retreats. I wanted a space for women to come together. We could talk about wellness, confidence, and I could really be, they're separated from everything else and we could do that. And people were very discouraging because I hadn't ever done them before. There's high investment, et cetera. And when I launched that first one and I had, I think it's only 6 women, it was quite small. That was one of the best moments in every year after that I kept holding them because it was exactly like I thought it would be. You know, when you have those dreams of how you think something's going to be and it never is, but this was. And so that was the good, like seeing an idea that is highly discouraged happen and multiple times is something that I think anyone listening, there's something in your life you can think of that's like that.
Oh, definitely. So have you continued to hold retreats? So yes. Tell us when and where your next one is and how we can find out information about that.
Yeah. So if you're on Feel Good Naked, you'll see all about the retreats. But the next one is actually in Portugal. I'm now living here as I talk to you about in the south of Portugal. And that is the beginning of June. So we're holding them every summer. But yeah, this is the aspect that I still do in my wellness business is the retreats because I just love them so much.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome. And what a great, great story and part of your journey and a happy beginning, right? Like you didn't have all the terrifying things that they talk about. I love it. Okay. That was fun. Now we got to tell them.
She's like, now we're going to talk about the terrifying things.
Now we're going to terrify you guys. Hold on. So we're going to tell a story about the bad. So we'll save the ugly for last. So tell us a story about the bad part of your journey.
Yeah. So the bad part for me was, and we talked a little bit about this before, where I've had to start over multiple times. And it was sometimes because of a choice and sometimes not. But the first bad one was I left the US and I moved to the UK. And when I moved to the UK, I had already had a successful business that I'd run for 2 years. And so I thought, I'm going to do this again. It's going to be easy. I already know the secrets. And for 9 months, no clients, no work. Also, I was struggling with visas and I had to build it up from scratch again. And the hardest part was the mental side, of course, of like, what's wrong with me? Did I get lucky, right? The first time and trying to make it work in a completely new environment. So that was really, really challenging. I think there were multiple start over moments like that. You know, when you launch something new, you're in a new space and you're again hit with this, what if I can't do it? Especially when they don't come immediately.
Yeah, you're like, wait, I hung the sign and they're not knocking my door down.
Did you see it? The sign is here.
Oh my gosh, that is devastating. And that takes us back to that self-doubt and that imposter syndrome and all those things. Who did I think I was that I could leave the US and go to a new country and do all this? We start telling ourselves the horrible things. And it's because we're stretching and growing. And we're doing amazing things, but it's hard. It is hard. And you, listen, you could have gave up right then and said, this isn't for me. I'm going back to the US. I'm going to pick back up where I left off. You could have done anything. There's a million different ways you could have done this. And here you are. And you just got back up and went again and again and again until you got it.
I did look at flights every week for a while.
Listen, I would have too. I just want to know where that safety net is, right? When you're walking the tightrope, you want to make sure there's something.
I just want to know what days it could be.
This flight's only available on Wednesdays, right? Oh my gosh. I love how honest you are because people right now are feeling like there's something wrong with them. And the truth is, there's nothing wrong with you. This is part of the journey. This is what prepares you for what's coming. And it makes you greater like you are today because of this hard stuff. And I think like too many people try to push it away and avoid it. And I feel like we need to lean into it and embrace it and go with it, right? And trust it. I think trust is a big thing. Like trust that it's happening for you and not to you, right?
I love that shift. That's so true. I always say like you can't shed layers and skin without something sharp. Like there's going to be hard moments.
Yeah, you're right too. Sharp is true. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, that's sad and scary and all that. And I'm so glad that you overcame that. Tell us about ugly.
Yeah. So ugly is the more recent one. There have been many ugly moments, to be fair, but this is the most recent one. And I think it's a very telling one for everything we've talked about. So even though I know all about stress and burnout and all of that, you still can get caught up in it, of course. And so for me, I was making a really big shift, like we talked about, from zone of excellence, wellness space I know really well, behavior change coaching, into a new realm, which was launching the new show and starting to get more into visibility. And I was not consciously admitting that I had doubt about it or imposter syndrome, but I started to notice my voice was going away right before I was supposed to launch. So I think I was meant to launch in January, and beginning of January, I started losing my voice slowly, slowly, slowly. I had been a fitness instructor for years, coaching hundreds of people without a microphone and no voice issues. So this was not because of technique or something. This was definitely deeper. And it got to the point where I was taking all this medicine. I'd seen 5 doctors, nothing was working. At one point, I couldn't speak at all. I was silent for 5 weeks completely. We're talking texting people to talk. Meanwhile, my show's still supposed to be going live, right? My podcast where I'm supposed to talk. Yes. And I had no choice but to really delve into it, because the weird thing about this, which I still have today, I'm still healing from it, is I can feel my voice go softer and I can feel my vocal cords tighten when I'm stressed. So I actively feel when it's coming over me and I have no choice but to address it. There's no suppressing it. So it's been ugly because I had, you know, timelines and dates, but at the same time, it's forcing me to be different. I can't ignore it. I have to respond when something's uncomfortable. I have to acknowledge it. It's like if the therapist is in your bathroom and in your bed. Like, you can't pretend they're not there. You have to do something.
Yeah.
So that's been really ugly. That's been really hard. And I definitely had some breakdowns in dealing with it. But I feel I'm finally getting to the other side now.
I love this so much. And I'm so sorry that you went through that. But there's a reason, right? The reason is that you're going to be able to help so many more people, because that is normal for a lot of people and they don't even know it. And I'm one of them. My throat closes a lot and it's, you know, but I'm noticing it more now. And then I start to talk to myself like, all right, girl, why is this happening? What do you need to be doing that you're not doing? What do you need to be saying that you're not saying? Like, I'm self-coaching, but I want to point out what you said. This was just recent, this year, 2024, guys, you're seeing all of this success and you're seeing her. It's everything we talked about, stepping to a new level. It's another level. It's something new. You're up leveling. You're going to be more visible. And here you are. And your mind and your body is trying to protect you from this scary, huge jump. Right. And this is how we're wired and we need to be ready for it. And I hope that this conversation that we've had today is going to help so many people get ready for their next best, greatest leap in their life or their business or wherever they're headed. And I thank you so much. And I'm so glad you got your voice back so we could have this conversation. And you are invincible. And I appreciate you being here and sharing and helping all of the people and being invincible and always getting back up.
Thank you so much for those words, for the encouragement, for all the energy you're giving me and everyone listening and that you give every single week. It's really amazing.
Girl, so fun. I know we're going to be doing this again. I just feel it in my bones. But I just love having this conversation and knowing you and just loving what you're doing. And we got to tell these people, I don't know where you are in your life or your business, but you just heard a very long conversation with Sharde Rael and me about how great you are and how invincible you are. And all I need to say is wherever you are in your life or your business, even if you're face down on the ground right now, get back up. You just need to get back up. We know it's hard. Isn't it hard, Sharde?
Oh, it is hard.
It is hard. And we know that you feel like you can't do it because we've been there, but you've got to trust us today. You can do it because you can do anything. You are invincible. Thank you for joining us today. If you were inspired or learned something new, please follow the show, submit a rating and review, and share us with your friends. If you would like to chat to see if you can attract your ideal client and monetize your business through podcasting, please book a free call with me at CammieLehman.com. I can't wait to meet you.